Welcome to the Digital Workplace Deep Dive Podcast Video Edition, the first one, and hopefully a series where you get to see us instead of just listening to us as well. I'm your host, Weston Morris. One of the things that the listeners of my podcast have shared with me is that providing end-to-end services for digital workers is hard. So I thought it would be great to gather together some of the top experts on my team. They look at different parts of the digital workplace and see if we can figure out why it's so hard, and then maybe come up with some answers, some tips to help each of us move things forward in the digital workplace. My guests today are Timothy Rashkin. First of all, he leads all aspects of support. Think about what services are needed when something goes wrong. Service desk, in-person support, touchless. He's got it all covered. Tim, welcome to the show. I know it's the first time for you.
I'm great to be here. Thanks so much.
And I'd also like to welcome Stacy Harder. She leads our seamless collaboration services. Think managed meeting room, M365, smart buildings, things like that. I think this is the second time we've had you on the show, but the first time with a camera. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. Glad to be here as well.
And also Simon Wilson, another first time guest on my show. Simon focuses on proactive experience, a topic we have really spoken about quite a bit on this show, but XLAs, experience management, first time for you, Simon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Weston. Absolutely delighted to be here.
So with the introductions behind us here, let's talk about the conflict. What is it that seems to be creating this conflict and creating a great digital workplace? And one of the things that a lot of you brought up is those folks in procurement. They're focusing on the device. They're focusing on cost. They seem to be focusing on maybe the business and people to some extent. Another challenge is, us in IT. I can think back to one of our customers several years ago when we were talking about employee experience. They said, hey, we're not in the happy business. Our job is to figure out what's best for our employees. We know best. We're going to deliver that technology to our customers. And that doesn't really fit in today's digital workplace, does it? Another factor that we're seeing is the digital workplace is complicated, right? One size doesn't fit all. We've got hybrid workers. There's this mandate now for returning to the office, remote workers, road warriors. And what about those frontline workers? You've heard us talk a little bit about that on the show in the past. That has been an ignored or forgotten part of the workforce. During the pandemic, we all move forward with technology. We got Teams or Zoom. We got great cameras and microphones, big screens. And then everyone that was in the frontline workspace, whether it was retail or factories, hospitals, they didn't get any of that. And now they're even more left behind. And they have special needs. They use shared devices and ruggedized devices. So how do we take care of those? In addition to that, there's additional workforces at play here. We're seeing this, especially in Europe, the importance of tracking and reducing carbon consumption, though it really is something that we should be looking at everywhere. So the end result, all of these forces coming together, there's the potential for really no one getting the digital workplace tools they need to be 100% productive. So that's the question we're going to tackle today. How can we bring these lifecycle services together and kind of bring it in focus with the lens of experience management? So that's why I'm surrounded by these experts here. I'm so glad that Tim, Stacy, Simon, you're here with us today. Let's start off with you, Tim. We talked about the problem. What is in your mind is the answer?
Yeah, we really have to start at the beginning. You talked a lot about some of the different workers in the environment today, some that have been left behind in the past. And it really starts with our perspective on what makes up a persona, right? Everybody's heard this magic word of personas. People think very different things about what it means and how to support them. It really starts with what we would like to consider kind of a more complete persona at the end of the day, right? What is the, who is it? What's the role in the company? What do they need, devices and otherwise? Where are they? What are the various external factors that come into play that affect their day-to-day operations? And frankly, what's their purpose, right? Like how do they align up with the overall business objectives of the company? And what do they need at their fingertips in order to get that done every day? What motivates them? So it's really about figuring out like the who, what's, where's, and why's of that complete persona and how we can support that through digital workplace, IT technologies, and how do we manage the stakeholders to what Weston, you said before about procurement, IT, security, sustainable actions. How do we manage each of those stakeholder groups in order to best position that persona to deliver what it needs to do?
I really like that idea of a complete persona. I mean, we've talked about personas for a long time, but you really are expanding this, the who, what, when, where, why. So maybe we can dig into that. I'm thinking maybe a way we can all talk about that together would be using a user journey. We'll make up an imaginary person here. We'll call her Natalia. She's in sales, just starting on the first day on the job. So I'm thinking, does it make sense if we start talking about her first day on the job, Tim?
Not so fast, sir. I would say we really have to look back off at what's the onboarding experience in the first place, right? If you're a brand new person looking at this company, Natalia, 2, 3 weeks through 2 or 3 months before even what her potential normal would start date would be, based on HR guidelines, country guidelines. It all starts with how do you make Natalia realize right off the bat whether it's the right fit for the company, right? What are her aspirations? What are the values of the company that matter to her at the end of the day? And how can the company embrace those values and put her in the best position to succeed? On top of that, we have to think about logical and access provision, and physical provisioning as well, right? So depending on the role that she has within the company, if she's, like I said, a hybrid worker, maybe she's on the go pretty frequently because she's in sales, or maybe she's on the supply chain. It's all about understanding what are the things that you need to bring to bear, again, that complete persona in order for her to feel good and for also deliver value for the company. So
Okay,
again,
so
start right at the beginning.
I'm seeing that we're really having to take a step back and actually bring procurement into the picture, which is good. We want them to understand this. So what are some of the things that go into the decision-making process to figure out this complete persona?
So it really comes down to, again, if we think back to that complete personas and the who, what, where, when, why, how, throw everything at it. Think about, again, for the user, what do they need to do to be effective, right? So think about the device. There's so many different kinds of devices out there, right? You've got tethered, knowledge workers, you've got high performance machines if they're a developer. Again, folks that are on the go, do they really want to be lugging this behemoth of a laptop with a monitor and all these things, when they're on the go all the time? They're going to want maybe a two-in-one type laptop. So it's all about taking an understanding of what their responsibility is, how they operate in the environments. And then let's really start to look at the kinds of devices, the peripherals, what their needs are, and let's right size those, right? Let's look at telemetry data through our XMO capabilities. Let's work with our partners and let's come up with like a right size device catalog, for instance, that actually matches up with their requirements. And then let's make sure we keep watching that over time. So if application needs change, let's keep using that telemetry data to validate that catalog and make it a really evergreen catalog.
So we've done all this behind the scenes work, procurement, IT, kind of working together. That's great. We figured out the complete persona for Natalia, as well as the other, complete personas in the company. So I think now, Tim, we're ready to talk about Natalia's first day on the job and her onboarding, right?
Well, we're still not quite there yet. So just a couple more things we've got to do to really get Natalia up and going correctly. So just think about now we're getting a bit closer towards your start date. Maybe we're 2 weeks out from now. There's still a few more things that we really need to keep in mind. One certainly is around the actual provisioning execution work. There's some HR workflow we need to wrap up, things that she's going to need, maybe even some early training she can do to make sure she's up and running on day one. Again, there's some, companies where those workers, if they're not ready on day one, that's already money going down the drain, so we need to make sure they're ready to go. And let's not forget that Natalia here has a certain disability, right? So from an accessibility perspective, it's really critical that we're considering her needs too. If we go back to the complete persona, again, who she is and what she needs and her and the external factors, the internal factors, like those are all things that are really important. And so if we think about what's that experience going to look like, there's things that we can do that are very ADA compliant, driven, accessible, friendly activities that really make that a positive personal experience for her as well.
And that may have been good in the past, but if we think about now, today, we must provide engaging and collaborative experiences that seamlessly interlock with Natalia's work life. And AI is actually going to play a key role in this. For example, AI in Microsoft Copilot, we're going to be able to actually curate personalized training experiences for Natalia. And the AI is actually going to analyze her learning style and then adapt her training over the course of her career to make sure that she's constantly engaged. If we also think about prompt engineering and organizational change management for her, these are critical to help Natalia understand how to curate and create, prompts that will actually be engaging and will guide AI to give Natalia, the desired outcomes that she's looking for, but at the same time, keep her motivated and aligned with the company culture and goals. And then, Tim, like you mentioned, if anyone has an accessibility, or inclusion need, AI, the advancements that AI is bringing to this are astounding. I mean, we can think, first of all, like AR, VR. Think about being immersed into a world where it doesn't matter what your capability is, you're all together, no matter where you are globally. And then also what AI is bringing to the forefront, which I think is exciting, is natural language processing. So if Natalia is from, say, São Paulo, Brazil, and training is going on in the company in Italy, the AI is going to be able to translate that for her into her own native language, making it so much easier for her to learn and understand and be included. And I think these are key driving factors for us.
Stacey, I'm looking back. If we were to have recorded this in 2023, we wouldn't have been talking about AI and generative AI the way you brought it up here. I love that you brought up the point that we need to have we need to be thinking about prompt engineering, training on prompt engineering, if people like Natalia are going to be able to make use of that, so that in her daily work
Correct.
she's improving things. Yeah, I love that. Great. Simon, you've been kind of quiet so far. I mean, what do you think about Natalia's onboarding process from an employee experience perspective? I mean, what are some of the things that you would be recommending we pay attention to here?
So I think there's a number of things here actually. So the first one is about using our experience level agreements. So using those, we can measure the onboarding experience of Natalia, make sure that her apps are working properly, she's got the right device, she's getting the help where she needs it, and also capture sentiment from Natalia as well in terms of how she feels, her onboarding experience has got. But I think as well, there's a thing we're missing here, which is actually Natalia's picked up another persona that we're not even talking about, which is the persona of a new joiner. So a new joiner doesn't have the expertise of the business. They don't know where to get help necessarily. They don't know which apps they're going to be asked to use. And so actually there's a thing here about using the data to measure the journey of a new starter as a new persona, and HR can use that data to understand what's the expectation of a new user. When should we expect them to use Teams the first time? When should we expect them to use other apps? What should their journey look like? And I think as well, another thing we can do in terms of experience is, as that employee, as Natalia uses those apps the first time, we can then interactively present her with help on that app. So we won't overload on the first day, the first week, but as and when she uses those apps, she'll get the help that she needs at that point. And I think that's where the experience data can really help.
Simon, I really like that you brought in yet another organization here as we think about end-to-end user journey, end-to-end life cycle, HR, right? I mean, usually IT and HR aren't having much of a conversation, but you're bringing them together. I love that. And this whole idea of an XLA measuring onboarding experience, wow, that's quite powerful. Very good. So let's go back to Natalia here and her complete persona. I suppose one of the things we know about her, we've already mentioned she's got a mobility disability. She's in sales. She's in Brazil. We know she's a hybrid worker on the road sometimes, working from home. Stacey, I'm thinking I've got a question for you here. So let's play things forward a few months. She's a salesperson, and now she has landed her first potential client. She comes into the headquarters, which she doesn't frequent very often. She's going to use the fancy conference room. She walks in and she finds a bunch of cables unplugged. there in the room, and it's like, oh my God, how's she gonna, how am I gonna, you know, have this important meeting? It's gonna be a failure. But what are you doing? What are we thinking about to help her in that part of her experience?
So if we think of Natalia in her special case, we actually are creating three different capabilities for her. So when she comes into the conference room, the first one is if she doesn't even know how to use the equipment, because as we've all experienced, even if you're in the same company, you can go into several different rooms and they each have several different pieces of technology, OEM equipment in there for their meeting rooms. So the first thing we want to do is make sure she understands how to use it. And so we have a QR code that we created that she can scan with the mobile device. And what that'll do is that'll bring up knowledge documents and videos. So right then and there, she doesn't have to leave. She doesn't have to come back another day. She can just look at the videos right then and there and understand how to start up the meeting, how to pull other people in, et cetera. Now, like you said, if they walk into a meeting room and cables are unplugged, something is not working and they don't know what to do. We'll also have a QR code. We'll have a QR code that's actually on the display. And if the display is not working, it'll also be on a paper format, you know, hanging in the room, and it's specific to service. And so what they would do is they would scan it with their mobile device. It would first log a ticket in the ServiceNow, you know, portal, and the ServiceNow portal would automatically see if it can detect an issue and maybe do an instant reboot. If not, and you actually need assistance, we're using Help Lightning, which is an AR, VR type of tool that'll be on the mobile device, giving Natalia the ability to have a remote, you know, subject matter expert help her figure out what the issue is. So she'll be able to show them exactly what the problem is instead of trying to explain it to them on the phone or wait for someone to show up. It's having a virtual person there with you, walking through the issue to start it back up. So it's, you know, the QR code on the display, a service specific QR code, and then, you know, the training QR code.
I want that QR code for my home office, Stacey. Set me up with that. Good stuff. And I love the use of merged reality there too. That's instant help. I mean, Natalia exactly. Now can have her that conference room set up. And if, even if there's a problem, she's going to be successful with that sale. So, well, let's move forward a little bit further in Natalia's journey. There may be a time she needs additional peripherals. And so, Tim, I'm thinking about your area on the support side of things. Maybe even swap out a device. That can be a pain, especially for a remote worker. What are some things that you recommend that we put in place for Natalia here?
Yeah, I love it. Where to begin is the way I would think to start with. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that we can cover through. If you think about touchless experience solutions, like you said, this is historically a very heavy touch, hot, intense, you know, heavy interruption experience that cuts off hours potentially of productivity, if not longer, depending on what the need is. So think about things like smart, connected, integrated asset lockers, threshold driven smart dispensing vending machines. Just before the example around merged reality, how about virtual tech cafes where, whether it's 3 p.m. or worse yet, 3 a.m. at night, you know, she has something critical coming up that morning with a major customer or an outage plan or whatever, and there's no time, right? How do I get in touch with somebody? My machine just blue screened or it fell off a cliff or who knows what, right? So how am I going to get support? Well, that's no problem. You know, you go up to the virtual tech cafe or up to the locker, you know, you connect with a remote agent. That's a 24/7 coverage. And while you're on the screen, seeing their friendly face, trying to help you out with what your issue is, they can immediately unlock one of the locker bins and you can immediately get a brand new asset right then and there to be able to keep going and minimize that interruption. Or worse yet, you know, you mentioned before the thing about the cable that was, magically missing and she, you know, her phone is down to like 2% battery life now. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? There's nobody around for me to get my phone charge and I'm going to need that to join a call in a little while. Well, you know, think about the smart dispensing machines, right? Based on what her persona is, again, based on the kind of worker she is, we can actually drive very personalized, pre-allocated, pre-authorized vending capabilities where it says, you know, based on your persona, you have X dollars per month, or these are the peripherals that are relevant to you, especially at the new joiner stage. Like, these are the three or four things that persona needs. Swipe your badge, and it all spits out right then and there. And again, let's not lose trace of the fact that she has very particular accessibility requirements. That's the other great thing, right? At the end of the day, these are ADA compliant capabilities, easy access for Natalia to get her hands on and exactly when she needs it.
Well, Stacey and Timmy both giving us some great things to think about in improving her experience. Simon, I'd like to come back to you real quickly because you mentioned earlier about a onboarding XLA. Is that the only place that an XLA will come into place? Is this just a buzzword? I mean, what's the reality here?
No, so the XLAs, they apply across the life cycle of that employee and their device and their applications. So with XLAs around the performance of the device, the reliability of the device, for example. But I think as well, it's about proactive. I think really most organizations are trying to be more proactive. And for me, proactivity comes in a number of forms. And I think what we can do for our employees and the employees of our customers is to make sure that firstly, we're being preventative. That we're making sure the device is fit and healthy and all of those things that keep it healthy and safer in place. We mentioned things like making sure the user's got the right device in the first place. That's huge in terms of making sure that user has all of the things they need to do to crack on with work and not be impacted and have the capacity they need. And I think as well, the next is about only 20% of the issues in the environment actually get reported to the service desk. And that's only after somebody's normally had an issue for a long time. Maybe they've tried to fix it themselves already. A lot of time's been wasted by users. Nobody calls the desk for fun. It's normally when you're broken, when you need help. And so actually being proactive is about looking for those issues under the waterline, looking at the 80% of issues that don't get reported. And remember, we've got those issues where people have an issue and they don't report it to us. We've got to find those as well. Don't call us, we'll fix you. And I think as well, there are people that have got issues and don't know they've got issues. So, for example, you've received your device, the log on time is 5 minutes, for the next 2 years it's 5 minutes. For you, that 5 minutes is how long it takes. That's your context. How would you know that the person next to you, with a similar device logging on in the same way, in the same environment, is actually logging on in 20 seconds? So you've got to consider that as well. So people don't always know that or even appreciate they've got an issue and they're suffering from it. So this is why proactive monitoring, doing stuff about it, having plans in place to make sure that we're constantly looking for those issues under the waterline, as well as being much smarter about being reactive as well in terms of diagnostics, in terms of right-click automations at the service desk, removing the need to remote on. So all of those things, I think, together in a kind of a marginal gains perspective, actually improve the performance of the devices, the applications, the reliability of those, and overall the experience of the end users. And I think it's that we measure through the XLAs.
That helps, I think, us understand better the value of it. And then think about the time that you're able to return back to them to do their job that they're not wasting. Hey, so let's move forward 3 years now. Natalia's been with the company. She's not a new joiner anymore. So that means 3 years have gone by. It's time to replace her laptop, right?
Yeah, so not necessarily.
Okay.
So I think we're all used to having our devices for 3 or 4 years. The warranty runs out and we get a new device. It doesn't matter whether that device is working well or not, that's the time frame. But I think that using the data that we've got these days, we're able to much more safely and securely retain that device for longer. So we can meet ESG requirements and strategies much easier. So you can retain that device for longer, more safely, because we can monitor that that device is performing within tolerance, that it is healthy and safe to be on the network still, that it's updated and patched in the right way. We can do all of that kind of stuff. But also what we can do is make sure that the right person has the right device again, because your persona may change through your ownership of a device. So 2 years in, you get a new job, you're now in the analytics team, you're now crunching huge amounts of data. That device you had when you joined 2 years ago is no longer suitable. How about we, as the IT department, let our users know a new device is coming because we've seen that you need a new device? And for the business, we're telling them that, the employees are going to be more productive because they've got the device they actually need. And there's a side benefit of that as well, which is that those people that have devices that are way too powerful for them, we could also maybe redeploy those in other places as well. So it's not just a question of taking devices away and also increasing the length of time that a user has a device, but actually it's about smarter allocation across the whole life cycle.
Simon, amazing points. I think I'd be remiss if we didn't start breaking out our calculators a little bit here, because there's some really interesting statistics if you really want to talk about. I mean, this is probably one of the most important subjects we've talked about, is around what is our commitment as a society to sustainability at the end of the day, and how, as IT professionals, can we make a contribution? Because we really can, across every single level of scope of missions you can think of, with our partners, with ourselves, our customers, at the end of the day, Natalia herself. I mean, every one of us plays a role in that. And if you think about some of the things Simon says around intelligent PC refresh planning, cascading of devices, one statistic to keep in mind is every new device that gets deployed, that's at least 330 kilograms of carbon emissions. If we even delay some percentage of those asset refreshes because we can recall a device, refurbish it, cascade it out, it's going to be a fractional impact to the environment at the end of the day. And if we could be smart with things like our touchless experiences, like we talked about before, and we're cutting out hundreds of kilograms of emissions worth of dispatching activity. If we're thinking about the right size device catalogs, like we talked about before, where do they really need that super beefy machine? Which, if you think about hundreds of those, that's dozens, if not hundreds, of kilograms of emissions right there, too. And if you think about it, even for a customer that's maybe 10,000 users or something, if we start really applying each of these steps along the entire device lifecycle experience, guidance of products, logistics planning, self-locking, compostable packaging materials, you're talking literally thousands, thousands of tons of kilogram reduction of emissions just by being more careful with how you think about sustainability at the core of our asset lifecycle.
Yeah, Tim, I'm glad you brought up the sustainability side of things. I mean, we'd be remiss if we ignored that in our end-to-end life cycle. Now, so we've talked about Natalia. That's an information worker, hybrid worker. That's one persona. Stacia, you've done a lot of thinking about frontline workers. I'm just wondering how much of what we talked about with Natalia might apply to a frontline worker, say, in a manufacturing facility.
Thanks, Weston, for mentioning frontline workers. As you may or may not know, who's ever listening, they're 80% of the global workforce. And usually, when we're creating our solutions, they're the persona that we least think of. We're always used to thinking about a knowledge worker, someone that's got like the desktops or the beefy computers. And these people aren't tethered to a desk. They're either in a manufacturing plant or they're in front of customers, retail, or even restaurant workers. And so they need to be mobile, in most cases, hands-free, but they also need to be connected. And how we do that is by providing them the right device for the right job to perform what they need to do and be successful. In some cases, it could be a headset that comes with a push-to-talk button, where it enables them to talk to not only the employees that they work with, but it may be a pre-programmed button for them to get help or training. We also provide mobile devices. So perhaps they need to put the headset into a docking station and pick up a mobile device or a tablet and do their work. Also do training. They can do training on a go. So they're not necessarily relegated to sitting in a back room somewhere, a stuffy closet, trying to take training while manufacturing plant is going on or the restaurant is busy. They can actually take that device and do it whenever they are available to do it, wherever they can do it. And so this is one of the great things about frontline workers. And what we're really trying to bring forward with a lot of our offerings is how we can really make sure that they're a persona that's included with Copilot and everything else that we're doing today.
Yeah, thanks for educating us on the frontline worker, Stacy. Now, taking a step back, Tim, I think I see a couple of business models here. One is this whole end-to-end life cycle management, where an enterprise buys devices outright, right? And then adds in managed services. And I'm seeing another one where maybe all of this is packaged up and everything is in a kind of a pay-per-use or monthly subscription. Are both of these possible or do they conflict? What's the story there?
Fantastic question. Short answer, yes, but that's very boring. I mean, let's talk about how we can harness the question you just asked into something that would be more valuable at the end of the day. into business, right? If we think back to what we started around the complete persona, what we don't want is the purpose of how Natalia needs to function in the business and the assets she requires to be a ball and chain, something that's holding the company back from really focusing on its business priorities. And so depending on what their financial expectations are, what their preferences are, the intent is to be as flexible as we can be, as we all can be at the end of the day, to make sure that the company can operate effectively for what their business outcomes are, right? So yes, there's options where if a company wants to purchase assets outright, that's an option. If a company is really looking for more of an all-in capability where they can operationalize all of their costs around digital workplace and normalize what that budget looks like, drive more consistent refresh, manage all the services that we've been talking about, proper device experience management and intelligent refresh planning and cascading of devices, instead of them having to really rack their brains around all these different pieces. I have to manage all this. I got to pay them over here. I got to pay them over there. It's crazy, right? I mean, how are they supposed to focus on what they're normally working? That can all, again, become a subscription model where it's focused not just about hardware and leasing hardware, but how can we figure out together how to transform the entire device life cycle experience for the workforce and for Natalia's, right? So that's what our objective is. How do we bundle all that up and deliver it in a way? It also can drive strategy, which is the really exciting bit. Let's say the company intends on doing VDI or something like that a couple years from now, right? But they have no idea how many. They've thought about particular groups. Maybe it's contractors, interns. They don't know when. Maybe it's 18 to 24 months out or longer from now. They want to do a phase plan. Do we really want to lock ourselves into devices right now that we now own? And that's a big burden on our balance sheet. No, you don't. So, we can leverage flex options as part of a subscription model and say, you know what? In 2 years from now, we can already have pre-planned that you can return all of those assets at zero cost, and you can immediately shift into a virtualization strategy, but still meet your business demands and your users' demands right now at the same time. So let kind of subscription modeling help facilitate your strategy for your business.
Well, we covered a lot here today. Maybe just do a little recap. I mean, the first point that I gathered was this idea of a complete persona. We talked about that at the beginning, thinking about who the person is, where they are working, and there might be multiple places throughout the day or the week, how they're working, what their job is. And if we can get procurement and IT, maybe even HR thinking about that up front, then that will make it possible for us when they are onboarded, that they're actually able to have a great working experience. And it doesn't end there. I'm hearing about measuring experience, providing training, thinking about accessibility, thinking about sustainability, that all of these things can be wrapped up and part of an end-to-end lifecycle experience. So I would just really like to thank my guests, Timothy Rashkin, Stacy Harder, Simon Wilson, as you've joined us here today. Thanks for you taking the time to educate us on this topic.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Weston.
Yeah, thank you, Weston. It's been a great session.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
And thank you. So you've been listening to the Digital Workplace Deep Dive, and I should say not just listening, but viewing this time, the first time we've done this. I'm your host, Weston Morris. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm.